Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Let's turn to Luke chapter 15, please. Luke chapter 15, and we'll just read the opening verses of the parable of the prodigal son, beginning at verse 11. Chapter 15, verse 11. And he said, that's the Lord Jesus, and everything he says we've got to take note of. And you can be sure that there's so much in what he says, that even when you have found something, you can go back the next day and find even more. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. On Tuesday, we sought to introduce this little parable to you, noting some important things that we should ever bear in mind when we're studying this parable. Today, we come to the opening words of it, spoken by the Lord Jesus, of course. And I want to underscore the first point that I want to make in our study, and that is, I want you to notice the discontentment of the son. He wasn't content in his father's house. When did that discontentment begin? I don't really know. Probably no evidence of it when he was in his early years. Oh, he was content just to run about and enjoy activities on what would have been his father's farm. That's the context of the parable. But maybe when he got into his teens, his mid-teens, that's when the discontentment began to arise. He was no longer happy in the world of his father's farm. He looked out beyond it, saw what others were doing, and he wanted to do the same. Young folk, that's an old story. I'll guarantee that it has been at work in your heart. It's been at work in your heart, that spirit of discontentment. I think I can rightly say that the author of discontentment is the devil. The devil is the most discontented being in God's creation. Do you know that? The devil tempts you and tempts me to do this, do that, do the other thing, promising us fulfillment, promising us joy, peace, everything we could want. Yet he doesn't enjoy such fullness. He's discontent. I was thinking as I was looking at this, of what we read in the opening chapter of the book of Job. You older ones, skip over to it. It's a book before the Psalms. Book of Job, chapter 1. And there we meet the devil presented to us. And if you look with me, please, at Job chapter 1 and the verse 7. And the Lord said unto Satan, Whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. That means the devil found nowhere he was content. Nowhere that provided him with all he desired. He was just going up and down, looking, searching, discontented. He gives a similar answer in the next chapter, in the verse 2. From going to and fro in the earth, and walking up and down in it. Listen to me, young folk. The devil wants you to join him in that walking to and fro. He wants to turn you away from the source of peace and joy and contentment that is to be found in the Lord Jesus Christ and his word. And he wants to turn you into a wandering person, never content, just like himself. Over in the New Testament, in 1 Peter, there's a word that's a helpful guide to us in this matter. 1 Peter, the chapter 5, closing verses of this first epistle of Peter, 1 Peter chapter 5, and the verse 7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. There's a contented person. There's a person with no care, the person who has cast all their care upon the Lord Jesus. That's the source of contentment among the people of God. They have put all their burdens and all their cares upon Christ, and he carries them. He carries them. But look at the next verse. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Here's the spirit of discontentment, and you're to watch out for him, the devil. He's likened here unto a lion seeking whom he may devour, a lion on the hunt. Lions, like all wild creatures, are restless. Oh yes, they lie down and sleep, they have to do that, but they're always on the prowl when they're not sleeping. I've said to you before that an interesting little guide when studying the Word of God, and we're looking at a particular word, is look at where it first occurs. That helps us to understand the nature of the word. And this word, walking about, seeking. Do you know where that first occurs? Well, it occurs right over at the beginning of the New Testament in Matthew's Gospel. Matthew's Gospel. And, as I say, it helps us to understand the nature of this word in the way that God uses it and applies it. Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2, and it's the verse 13. The Lord Jesus is just a little babe. And in the verse 13, and when they were departed, this is just after the visit of those we call the wise men. And when they were departed, the wise men, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise, and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. That's our word. The devil goeth about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. This is the same word. Herod was just like the devil. And no doubt he was possessed of the same spirit. A devourer. And he sought to devour Christ here in Matthew chapter 2. That was his desire. He was looking for him as a lion looks for its prey. Boys and girls, the spirit of discontentment that keeps the devil on the prowl, he would impart to you. He would have you join him in his restlessness. And that's the spirit that we see here in the prodigal son. He was discontent. Wasn't happy after a while. In his father's house. It says in the verse 13, and not many days after the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. He's on the prowl. He's on the search. He's turned away from his father's house. I've got to tell you this, that he had no grounds for his complaint. No grounds for complaining. You'll notice that he didn't go to his father and say, Father, you're giving me absolutely no living wage. I can't live on what you're giving me. No, he didn't say that. He didn't say, Father, you're so hard on me. I can't stick it anymore. You're always complaining about what I do, and I've had enough. No, he didn't say that. I don't believe he could have said any of those things. Indeed, if you look at verse 17, of the parable, sometime later, it says, when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? He remembers his father's house, not as a place of misery, not as a place of abuse, not as a place of deprivation, but as a place where even the hired servants were looked after well. He had no grounds for complaining. I want to tell you this, in all my days as a minister, I have heard people say, I'm leaving the church, I'm going away, because. And then they pour out complaints. And as I have sat and listened to them, I have said to myself, there's not a word of truth in what you're saying. You have no grounds for complaint. Absolutely no grounds for complaining. It's a made-up story. You just want to go. And you're putting forth this as an excuse to go. There's not one of us can complain about the mercies of God that surround us every day, no matter where we are or what our circumstances may be. None of us know what it is to be reduced to the level of the widow of Sarepta, who went out to gather some sticks to cook the last meal for her and her son in the midst of a famine. Do you remember what happened? How Elijah came, and through the power of God, through his servant Elijah, that woman and her son were fed every day during the famine. They hadn't a full barrel, but they had a barrel that never went empty, which is better than a full barrel. A full barrel will go empty. You'll eventually come to the end of a full barrel, but a barrel that God sustains, even though there's just a little in the bottom, but it's always there, that's better than a full barrel. We have no grounds for complaining at the mercies of God that surround us. And I want you young people to think of that. Because when the devil comes whispering in your ear, stirring you up to make you discontent, you never think of, wait a minute, I'm well off here. I'm in comfort here. I'm looked after. I'm loved. I'm cared for. No, you don't. You listen to the devil and you say, you know, you're right. I'm badly done by. No one was ever in such misery as me. I'll have to get out of here. I'll have to break out on my own the first chance I get. Oh, beware of a spirit of discontent. There's further evidence of the fact that the young man had no reason, no grounds for his spirit of discontentment. You'll notice that he was able to approach his father and ask him for a portion. If his father was a tyrant, if he was an old, tight-fisted character who would not let go of money, the prodigal couldn't have gone to him and said, Father, give me my portion. He couldn't have gone and asked that. If he was going to leave, he would have just had to leave with whatever clothes he had on his back. He'd get nothing from his father if he had grounds for complaining. But his father wasn't like that. He wasn't a tyrant. When he asked for the portion, look at it, verse 12. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. I might say that that's an ill-mannered request. There's no please, or there's no, Father, maybe you'd consider giving me. No. Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. That's a demand. That's not a request. And look at the response. He divided unto them his living. He divided unto them his living. The father divided his income with his son. A tyrant? I don't think so. The young man was finally brought to acknowledging that again in that verse 17 that I referred to. When he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. My father looked after us all well, even the servants. He looked after us all well. No, he had no grounds for his spirit of discontentment. His home was a good home. And here we have, of course, a wonderful illustration of the love and kindness that we enjoy from God. Oh, young people, if I could only impress this upon your heart, that every day you enjoy the goodness of God. Already today you have enjoyed the goodness of God. You're brought here, and I'm not wanting to invoke your appreciation and your thankfulness for the school or for the teachers. I'm not seeking praise for this place. But I would want you to understand the mercy that God has granted to you in bringing you to this place. This is a place where you're not going to be bullied. And in a way, I'm wasting my time telling you that because you don't know what it is to be bullied. You don't know what it is to be in a school where your fellow pupils gang up against you. You're not content with whispering and mocking and sneering hurtful things during the classroom, during playtime, but they'll even follow you home by way of the mobile phone, etc., etc. There's been young people have committed suicide because of the atmosphere in their schools. But you don't know anything about that. But if you do happen to see something or hear something on the news about some young person going away and taking their own life, just you say, I'm thankful that I meet no such pressure in my school. What mercy God bestows upon us people, if we only could understand it and see it and be delivered from the blindness of discontentment that overtook the prodigal. Let me read to you a couple of verses in closing. Thus saith the Lord, What iniquity have your fathers found in me, that they are gone far from me, and have walked after vanity, and are become vain? Jeremiah chapter 2 verse 5. Tell me your complaint, God says. What have you against me that you've turned your back upon me? They never were able to answer that. Let me give you another quotation. This is from Micah, chapter 6, verse 3. O my people, what have I done unto thee, and wherein have I wearied thee? Testify against me. I'd like to put each backslider that there is today up against the wall and ask that question of them. What did God do against you that you turned your back on him and acted as if he was a tyrant and a hateful person? God says, answer me. Testify against me. And again, they couldn't. Just like the Savior when he was put on trial, they could only tell lies. They could only hire liars. They had no accusation against him that was truthful. Even Pilate saw that. Pilate saw that. There's no reason why I should put him to death. And he tried two or three times to dismiss the case against the Savior. But then for political reasons, he just went ahead with it, washing his own hands to illustrate the fact that he didn't see there was a case against the Savior, but in washing his hands he did not remove the guilt that was his. He should have dismissed the case, but he didn't. There is an ongoing wickedness to be found amongst men. No kindness on the part of God has ever been received with any gratitude or acknowledged as it ought to be. Man chafes. You know what that word means? Maybe you've put on a garment and it's a bit tight. Or there's some little thing in the garment, like a hair, and it's just irritating you. Animals sometimes chafe under harness. It's rubbing them, irritating them. That's the way it is with man. Under the rule of God, doesn't like to be under that rule. He wants out there in the world. He has an appetite for sin. That's how it was with the prodigal. I want away from my father's house. I want into the world. Never stop for a moment to say, wait a minute, what has the world ever done for me? It hasn't provided me with the home that I have. The kindness that has been shown to me, it didn't come from the world. It came from my father. Everything I have is from my father. Even that which is in my pocket now, as I head off into the world, it has come from my father. Backsliders never think that. That I go out to backslide, and the breath in my body is given me by God. They never think that. I'm sinning against the one who at this moment is giving me life and health. They never think that. So blind are they to God's mercy. So taken up are they with the spirit of discontent. Oh, boys and girls, think on these things. And may the Lord bless his word to your heart, to all of our hearts today. Let's bow in prayer. O God, our Heavenly Father, how unthinking we are, as well as being ungrateful. How little examination we exercise on those temptations that come from the devil. We never think that that which he offers us, he himself has never found. The joy, the peace, the fulfillment that he says is out there in the world, he has never found it. How empty is the promise of the devil and his agents. O God, make us to be content with the goodness and the mercies of the Lord, and keep us faithful to him at all times. Bless the school today, undertake for it. You know those who have been prayed for, who need your healing, strengthening touch. We commit them afresh to thee, Lord. Take care of the school today. Grant to the boys and the girls even a spirit of obedience and submission to the Lord and his word, for Jesus' sake. Amen.